Hello and welcome to the Utah Puck Report. I am your host, Jay Stevens. I'm flying solo today. Gary had a meeting. I'm not invited to the meetings because I'm kind of unprofessional in those meetings, I guess. Today we're with Paul Taylor, the head coach of the Utah Outliers. Paul, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I know I've wanted you on here for a while, and, you know, like 3 or 4 years ago, we had Jake LeMay on, talked about the Ogden Mustangs, and it was a completely different league back then. You guys have been doing just fighting tooth and nail to be in better leagues and give your guys better chances to move on to NCAA. So I've wanted to have you guys on because you're like the other part of that. I know there are a couple other teams here in Utah, but the rivalry you guys have is pretty awesome. And we'll talk about that in a second. But what I want to talk to you about first is tell us a little bit about yourself as a player. Where did you grow up? Where did you play?
Yeah, so I grew up in Vancouver, Canada. Started playing hockey at a young age, like most Canadian kids. And, as I made my way through youth hockey, I played in the BCHL. So I played for a couple teams there for a few years. And then I moved on to play Division I hockey at Northern Michigan University. And after playing there, I moved on to play professionally in, you know, different minor leagues in the American League, the International League, the East Coast League, and a little bit of a stint in Europe. And then once I was done that, I moved on into coaching.
You were a goalie, right?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, I thought so. All right. So how did you end up in Utah? Was it just you got an offer to come coach the team?
No, actually, I was running a program in Dallas. So we had a AAA hockey program and an academy and a junior team there. And actually one of my really good friends that I grew up with, he owned the Salt Lake City Moose. So we'd been talking for a little bit of, over a period of time. And he was trying to kind of get me to Utah. I had some interest in moving closer to Vancouver, to my family and stuff like that. So, you know, long story short, we just kind of, you know, came to an agreement where, you know, I'd come on board as the coach of the Moose for a year, and then I would take it over and, you know, take the team off his hands, and I had a plan to rebrand it. And then that's how it became the Outliers.
Okay. Why the Outliers? Where did that name come from? I mean, I know of the book of books, but yeah.
Well, you got it right there. I read the book years ago and I was just kind of fascinated by the premise of it all. And just, you know, what allows people to be successful and kind of how they create advantages in their life and things like that. And, you know, when I was just looking at a hockey team and just different ways you build it and what we're trying to do with the athletes, I really just, you know, kind of thought it was a really good fit. You know, an outlier basically describes someone that, you know, is trying to, you know, show different value than others and stand out from others in positive ways. And I thought, you know, that kind of defines sports. You know, the teams are trying to stand out from each other and show their, you know, superiority, and same with the players. They're competing with, you know, different athletes across the world and trying to gain opportunities. So I just thought it was a fitting name and it was different.
Yeah, I like it. It is unique and different. And I hope a lot of people understand that that's what it is and maybe inspires more people to read the book. with the USPHL. So talking about trying to, you know, get your athletes to stand out and help them advance. Tell me a little bit about this league. Why you guys decided to move into it and how it's benefited you and your players since then?
Yeah. So when I first came here, we were playing in the Western States League. And I think over time, there was a lot of teams coming and going throughout the league. The travel schedule started to get kind of disrupted. And I know in our last year in the Western States, you know, we were traveling to Seattle and Oregon and, you know, different areas, you know, to the Western part. And it was just starting to get really expensive for us. And, you know, a group of teams were kind of getting a little disgruntled with the travel schedule, and the USPHL approached us and we had some conversations, and, you know, a bunch of us from the Western States League decided to move into the USPHL and kind of create our own mountain division. And then also with the idea that we had our sights to move up to a higher level where we're at tier three right now, we were looking to play eventually tier two hockey. And that was part of the agreement that we had that, you know, kind of enticed us to all move together as a division. And that's how we've ended up in the USPHL Premier for the last few years. And then next year we'll move into the to the USPHL NCDC, which is their top tier two league or division in the league. And it's, you know, at this level, you're dealing a lot more with Division III athletes, you know, for NCAA, where at the next level, you're dealing with more Division I athletes and even possibly, you know, some NHL draft pick type of players.
The NCDC, that's the National College Development Conference, or is that what
Correct.
It stands for?
No, that's it.
Okay. Do kids pay to play in the league you're in now, or the division you're in now?
Yes, they do. And then when they get to the NCDC, it's tuition free.
Oh, nice. And for a lot of the people that listen and don't understand, so tier one, tier two juniors, usually the separation between those is the tier one is tuition free. Tier two costs the guys anywhere from like $7,000 to $12,000, depending on where you're living. Does that sound right to you?
I'd say no. I'd say at tier one, everything is free. Your billeting is free. The hockey is free. You know, they give you a fair amount of equipment and things like that. At the tier two level, you know, one of the big differences is the players are still responsible for their housing cost. And we probably, you know, don't give them quite as much of the equipment packages that you might see in tier one. We'll still give them some equipment and sticks and things like that, but they'll probably at the tier one level furnish them with skates and all the hardcore equipment and stuff like that. You don't typically see that at the tier two level. So that and the housing cost is the big difference.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I want to talk about too, because a few years ago I was able to help the Outliers out and get some billets in there, and it's such a unique and cool experience for people. And I don't think a lot of people understand it. You're not going to make money off it. That's not what it's about, really. You get paid, I think it was like $400 a month is what it was a few years ago. I don't know if it's the same.
Yeah,
but right. Like, you open your house to a couple, usually one or two players. Typically, they can get themselves to and from the rink, but they live with you. You cook food for them. And then you get to go to the games. You have more of a vested interest in watching them play. And you develop these relationships, and like, even like tier one, tier two, doesn't matter. Like, you have these kids living with you, you get to watch them and do whatever they do next, and they become part of your family. A lot of the players really do become part of your family. And what I've noticed, and I lived with a billet family for a year, and I kept track and in contact with them until he was my coach, passed away, and I keep in track, touch with his kids. And we're still friends. And when they come to Utah, they stay at my house. And it's just such a cool opportunity that I don't think a lot of people understand. They just look at, oh, I'm only going to make $400 a month after letting some kid rent in my house. But I don't think that's what it's about at all. So here's your chance to give a pitch if you're looking for billets for next season.
Well, number one, the billets are a massive part of our program. I mean, doesn't matter how well our coaching staff or the management group is going to organize the team aspect. If you don't have families for the players to, you know, stay with, there is no team. And we have players that are coming from all over the world. So, you know, we don't have very many local kids here. So we really do rely on those billets to be a big part of the program. And to your point, exactly. I mean, they really become like a second family for the players. I mean, there's just some tremendous relationships that are built. They really become big fans of the team and showing up and cheering them on. And, you know, a lot of times these players are, you know, a big brother, you know, to the kids in the family that they're staying at. So there's a connection there. Some play hockey, some don't, but, you know, they're still supporting them in whatever activity that they're involved in. And I do, I think it's great. I mean, I'm still, you know, I played junior hockey decades ago. And I'm still in touch with my billet family to this day. And like you said, there's great relationships. And it's kind of funny because sometimes I'll get calls from the players over the summertime and they'll be like, you know, hey, I'm in town and stuff like that. And I'm like, in town, you're from Europe. Like, what are you doing here? And they're like, oh, I'm just visiting my billet family for the week. You know, and vice versa. I talk to other families and, hey, we're going to Switzerland in, you know, July to go visit, you know, player so-and-so, you know, that lived with them. And, you know, they've created relationships and got to see different parts of the world. So, you know, you're absolutely correct. When nobody's doing it for the money, they're doing it for the generosity and the opportunity to create some relationships. And really, they're a massive driving force in helping these players achieve their dreams.
Yeah, I think it's an amazing and most oftentimes misunderstood opportunity, and it's such a cool, like, life enhancer. Like you just, it's just a cool experience. I've always thought. I only stopped doing it because I had a daughter, and I was like, I'm just gonna let her be only have a couple hockey players between me and my son. That was enough hockey players in the house for my daughter and her friends. So let's talk a little bit. You guys moved to the USPHL, and it's you and Ogden. Who now I coached in the Ogden system for a little bit, and I got to be a little bit of a part of that rivalry. And it just seems like that rivalry blossomed quite a bit. You guys are competitive now. It seems like every time I follow the games, you're splitting series or like nobody's running away with it. I didn't watch the games as close this season, but it seems like you guys are pretty competitive. And how many times a season do you guys play each other now?
It varies. I think it's been typically probably not much less than 9, and it can be as high as 12. And to your point again, that, you know, ever since I've been here in 2015, I think it was, and, you know, with the 1 year with the Moose and then with the Outliers, it's been a great rivalry. We've had a ton of competitive games. Like you said, there's a lot of back and forth going on with, you know, both teams having success against each other. We've had some great playoff battles, and, you know, we'll see what happens this year if we meet up. But yeah, they've got a really good program. They do a good job, and they're a good competitor for us, and we enjoy the rivalry.
How many of your players in the past few years have you mentioned that you're mostly dealing with the NCAA Division III? Do you, off the top of your head, know how many guys you've sent into NCAA? Or, and then obviously there's ACHA, but how many guys have you sent NCAA?
I really do not have a number. I should know that off the top of my head, but it's been a lot. We've had a lot of success moving guys on. I mean, this year, you know, we may have as high as 10 guys get opportunities. And, you know, I would say pretty much every single player that comes to our team has NCAA opportunities. And that it's very rare that, you know, we have guys that we can't move to that level where the coaches or the scouts are not interested in them. So we tell players that want to come play here, like, you got, you know, if you look at our history, literally it's close to, if not 100% of the players that want to play college hockey get those opportunities. Now, saying that, some do choose to play in ACHA, you know, primarily Division I, and ACHA has really kind of come on in the last few years, from academic packages that they're offering the kids to, you know, just the quality of the program that they're putting together. So, you know, based on where they're, you know, situated in the U.S., we definitely have players that choose ACHA over NCAA, but like I said, we have a high number of players that move on, and pretty much the kids that want to play NCAA, we get them opportunities.
Yeah, that's one of the things a lot of people don't understand too. Man, 10 years ago, it would have been unheard of to have like an NCAA opportunity, but to pick ACHA. But nowadays, that's not, when you look at the schools that are NCAA Division III, if you don't get a full ride, you're talking schools that are 60, 70,000 a year. The same thing happened with my son. When we were looking at him playing NCAA soccer, and we're like, we looked at schools that were looking at him, and they're like, Pepperdine, 90 grand a year. Hey, but we're going to give you 1/3 or 2/3 tuition. And I'm like, I still can't afford the rest of it as a fireman. Yeah. But for these hockey players that have ACHA as an offer, ACHA D1, there are teams that could compete and beat NCAA Division III teams. I know that. Like, I've seen it.
And
so now for that to be an opportunity, and like with the University of Utah and what they've done with their program here, that just seems like a good fit for, you know, former Outliers or Mustangs or whatever to, hey, they use 10 grand a year. So even if you pay a little bit to play hockey, you're still in a good program. You get to play a good sport. You know, you're not going to dumb it down a ton with your hockey experience. You get to go play and get a good education for, and not be in a ton of debt when you're done. So, yeah.
Well, we've had players that have chosen the University of Utah over NCAA programs, you know, so exactly what you said. I mean, they come here, they fall in love with, you know, Salt Lake and Utah in general. And, you know, they see what they're trying to build at, you know, over there at the University of Utah. And those guys are working hard. And, you know, we've sent some some of our players that have had success and enjoyed the experience. And now they're trying to recruit more players and tell them about how they played for the Outliers. So there's a connection there. And, you know, they make that decision rather than going to Team X out east in the NCAA that, you know, gave them that offer, but instead they chose to stay in Utah. So you definitely see that a lot more today than you did even, I'd say, 4 to 5 years ago. There was a lot of kids that were kind of turning their nose up to ACHA. And I think that's, you know, starting to change now.
I think so too. I think, and it makes sense as a parent, like when you, cause I told my son I'd pay half of whatever he didn't get in scholarship. And then I started seeing him look at 90,000 or 70,000 a year. I'm like, let's just go local. I'm going to keep the in-state stuff. All right. So you said you don't have a lot of Utah players on your team now. Do you have any Utah-born players on your team right now?
We do. We have a goaltender named Jackson Letty that grew up in Utah playing a lot of his youth hockey. He moved to Colorado when he got a little bit older and then over to Omaha. But we got him back in our program this year.
I think I worked with him when he was younger. Maybe rings a bell. Okay, so let's talk. You've got playoffs coming up. Oh, you know, before I get into that, I want to talk. You've got definitely have Utah people helping you, and you've got some colorful, interesting people from around here that are diehard supporters of the team, like Bill that helped set this up, and Leon, he was a huge Grizzlies fan for a long time. How did you guys get him on board? And that's got to help having a guy like him in the stands. That's just a natural born leader and just a fun guy to be around, and really makes the crowd experience a little bit better. How did you meet him?
Honestly, I do not know how Leon first got involved. He's such a staple of the program now. He's been around for so long. I guess I just kind of, you know, take it for granted where I forget exactly how that relationship started. I know he was is still a big Grizzly fan and was going to those games, and somehow either somebody pulled him to one of our games or he got drawn to come check it out. And then he's become a diehard for us. I mean, he's at, you know, all the local games, it seems, whether we're at home or Ogden or Provo, you can see Leon in the stands. And, you know, he's gotten to know the different players in our Billet family. So yeah, he's become like the super fan for the Utah Outliers.
He's a lot of fun. I've known that man since I was 13 or 14 years old. I've always been impressed with him. He's always just such a positive force wherever he goes. He just brings this vibe with him. And that's a huge asset for you guys. I think he's a lot of fun. And it's funny, I bet he doesn't really know how to use social media, but he has a huge social media presence thanks to his other friends and his own, you know, Leon's family page and all that stuff. It's pretty fun. He's a great guy.
Yeah, I think he's posting a few things here and there about our games and different things. And honestly, I mean, that's really junior hockey in a nutshell right there. Like those are, you know, that what makes junior hockey special is when you get people like that. And I think that's the nice part about this level, you know, junior hockey being U20, you know, all the players are our, you know, 20 and under, is that, you know, you get fans like that and then they get access to our management or our Billet families and the players, where, you know, at the professional level, you're not really going to get that quite as much. So to me, like Leon is like, you know, he fits perfectly in that junior hockey space. I know our players really enjoy him and the different families, but it also just kind of reminds me of what junior hockey is, you know, such a big part of it is that fan interaction with the players and the program in general.
That's awesome. And I'm thinking back, a kid that I actually went to college with in North Dakota, he became kind of that thing in Topeka. And I just get random phone calls or random texts from him anytime a Utah player goes through or used to go through, like when Daniel Brickley was out there and stuff. And like, he's that. They call him Bucket Man. And everybody knows who Bucket Man is because he runs around the stadium playing a huge bucket and just kind of brings that European feel to the game, or just making noise the whole time and having a good time the entire time.
Yes.
And you're right. That's a huge part of junior hockey. All right. So you guys have playoffs coming up. First, you're playing Idaho.
Yeah. Idaho Falls is our first opponent that we'll play this weekend. It's a best of the three. So it's Saturday, Sunday, Monday, if necessary. So we just finished having a bye weekend for finishing first in our division. So now we know who we're playing after that first series of games in the quarterfinals were played with Idaho Falls and Northern Colorado. And Ogden, or sorry, and Provo play Pueblo, and Pueblo defeated Provo. So we get Idaho Falls, and Ogden will take on Pueblo.
Okay, so you are all these games at the Acorn? It's all
three games are they go to the whoever is the higher seed gets home ice advantage for the series.
And are they all three game series?
Yes.
Okay. Wow, that's awesome. So how much is the ticket to go watch the Outliers?
$12.
$12. It's cheaper than a movie bucks. Most of the time. Yeah. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Friday night. What's
Saturday? It's actually Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We had an issue with our schedule, and we typically do play Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So you're right in that it's a weekend-driven league. We just happen to have a glitch in the schedule, so we have to play Saturday, Sunday, Monday, which isn't the most ideal having to play on a Monday, but our focus is going to be to win in two and not have to play Monday. So we'll see how that goes.
Okay, so Saturday, what time?
7 p.m.,
Saturday, 7 p.m. at the Acorn. You can get in for $12. I mean, that's awesome. Cheap hockey. I'd love to go see that. Okay. And, you know, here's your chance to say whatever you want to say to the people that listen to this podcast every week. Give us your pitch on why people should come watch the Outliers and be interested in the Outliers.
Well, I think it's, you know, it's family fun, you know, entertainment. So it's a good place to take your kids and just in general to go out and watch a sporting event. I mean, these players are talented athletes. They're very good players in their own right, and they're moving on to some higher levels that you're going to see these guys succeed in. So, you know, the game itself is entertaining. The quality of the athletes is really good. And, you know, we get a good, you know, following and a good crowd and the energy and the excitement that's around. And I think playoffs in general for any sport is probably the most exciting time of the year. So I think there's a lot of draws to it that way, that, you know, if you're a sports fan and, you know, you also want to see a bunch of young guys from all over the world kind of coming to Utah and, you know, representing this program and this community and, you know, trying to give it their all so that they can, you know, win this series and move on to the next and hopefully compete for a national championship, then I would encourage people to come check it out.
Awesome. And I agree 100%. Paul, and thanks for what you're doing around here, man. The Outliers are awesome. I've seen them interact. A lot of times I'll go to my men's league game or whatever, and you get there and there's some Outlier players that are still interacting and with the young kids on it, like a whatever skate, you know, drop in or stick and puck and just helping out. And it's good to have kids like that come in and interact with our kids and help just feed the flame and help grow the game of hockey here in Utah. So thanks for coming to Utah and helping us out and building this program. It's a lot of fun and I'm excited. Good luck in playoffs. And Saturday, Sunday, Monday, $12. I mean, you can't beat that. It sounds pretty awesome. Paul, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay. And that is the Utah Puck Report.